Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Hey, it's great to be here and celebrating Christmas over this month, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? It's such a good, joyful time of the year, and the church is brighter and sparkling, and I see the kids running around taking photos with the snowman before it melts under summer. One thing that is definitely melting has been Mariah Carey's Christmas carols. She's slowly defrosting, and I'm hearing her in the shopping center more and more, to my regret. But praise the Lord, it is Christmas. It is Christmas. We're getting closer and closer and closer to a moment where we remember and we celebrate all that God has done. And one of the things I'm really excited for is that next weekend, we're going to go and host a big Christmas party down at the Richmond Housing Estate. I'm so excited for that. I would love to invite all of you to get involved. Christmas at the Richmond Housing Estate. We're going to cook up a big barbecue. I know Savi and the team have been busy planning and preparing, and it's going to be a really family fun time. And so I would encourage you to get around to it. Help us out. Scan the QR code in the foyer at the desk on that wing, whatever it is, and get involved. And if you want to know more about what we're doing in missions for Christmas, you can find some flyers on the info desk or go to our website. But I want to welcome people today because I know that around Christmas time and holiday seasons, we have so many visitors coming into the life of the church. So if you're new or visiting or you're here with family today, welcome to Newman Church. It's so great to have you here. I have some friends joining today as well, Salomon and Joa. We were talking about Jesus on the streets a couple of weeks ago and they decided to come to church today and check it out. So how good is that? Praise God. Well, can we pray together? And then let's open the word. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you that we have been adopted into the family of God. I thank you, Lord, for your great love displayed upon this season we remember Christmas. I pray today, Lord, that you would help us to see you rightly. Lord, remove any lies that we've been believing about you and replace them with truth. May we see the truth about God. And may we discover the truth about ourselves as we remember what you've done for us this Christmas. Lord, we love you. And we welcome you into this place today to move and have your way. Your kingdom come. And your will be done here in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The title of my message today is called Emmanuel, the Mystery Made Flesh. And we're going to be reading from the Gospel of John today and also the book of Colossians. And so if you wanted to tag those two places in your Bible, you can. The Gospel of John and the book of Colossians. And I find Christmas fascinating because Christmas is a celebration of a real moment in history when God entered the world through the birth of Jesus Christ. Christmas didn't begin as a tradition. It didn't begin as a holiday. It didn't begin as a good thought or a feeling, but it began with a birth and a child born to a young woman named Mary in a small town called Bethlehem. And the prophets declared it long ago, hundreds of years before it happened. The prophet Isaiah prophesied in chapter 7. He says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Emmanuel became the nickname, so to speak, of this person that entered history, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the angels announced it, the shepherds witnessed it, the wise men traveled to see it. But beneath all of this was something far deeper. Christmas is the moment where God stepped into our world. Amen? The Bible actually calls Christmas a mystery. A mystery. Not because it's confusing, not because it's hard to understand, but it calls it a mystery because it was hidden for generations until God revealed himself in Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 1:26, he says, "The mystery hidden for ages and generations has now been revealed." For generations, humanity was searching and writing and trying to discover and experience who God truly is. What's he like? Generations after generations all around the world, they ask this question: what does he look like? What does he love? What does he hate? Is God for us or is he against us? Is he angry when there's thunder? No. Is he sad when there's rain? No. But then what is God like? What is he like? And maybe you found yourself asking that question, and that's why you ended up in church today. Or maybe one day you did, and then you encountered the reality of God in Christ. And this Christmas is not just about God sending us a message. It's God revealing himself to us. See, many people around the world, many of us ask the same questions even today. And we might ask, who really is God? What really is he like? Maybe you found yourself asking that question recently. What would God think about this situation I'm going through? What is he like towards me? What are these thoughts towards me? What does he feel towards me? And maybe even, who did he make me to be? Who am I to him? And many of us wrestle with that ache in our hearts, and we feel like we have to figure it out on our own. And we often feel like we don't fully comprehend or understand, but in the Christmas story, we see God revealing this mystery to us. And I thank God that Christmas is not just a date on the calendar, but it is God stepping into the middle of your life, so that you don't have to figure out the truth about God or the truth about yourself on your own. Jesus came to reveal the mystery. Some people say, well, God works in mysterious ways. And that is true. He does work in mysterious ways. But Jesus came to say the mystery has been revealed. This is how God works. If I want to know anything about God, I look to the life of Christ and see it revealed. Some of us wrestle with shame when we approach a relationship with God, and we feel like we're too messy. Or maybe you've thought, if I was spiritual, I wouldn't be feeling this. I felt this before, and it's this, these thoughts sometimes creep in of, you know, I'm supposed to be a Christian after this many years, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and why am I wrestling with these thoughts that God is so distant from me? Why do I feel depressed? If I'm spiritual, I shouldn't feel depressed. Why do I feel so angry with God, or with that person? Why, when I'm supposed to love them? Why do I feel like there's so much temptation around me? Shouldn't I be more spiritual? Or if I was more spiritual, maybe I wouldn't be wrestling with this. Anyone thought that before? Maybe this side's more vulnerable. Anyone felt like that before? Right? But that's not a measure of spirituality. That's escapism. To think that we escape the human experience and maybe hope that one day we'd just get to heaven and then all of our chains would be broken. But God actually has something for us now. He's stepping into your world now. Today, he's reaching out to us. Jesus' life on earth didn't begin with advice. He didn't begin with advice for humanity. It began with a revelation about God. A revelation about God. Let's look at John chapter 1. I love this passage of scripture. This is where we have so much anchored in our theology about who Christ is. And this was revealed in the life of John and his experience with Jesus. And we see in John chapter 1, it says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God." This word that is being described here is Christ, God the Son, the living Word. "He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and darkness could not overcome it." Somebody say amen. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." He's talking about John the Baptist here. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. John, he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And then it says in verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then it says this in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the mystery, not explained, but embodied. God didn't just explain who he was, he embodied who he was. God didn't just shout answers from heaven, he stepped into history. He wrote himself into our story. I think that's why we call it history, because it's his story. He has written himself into creation. He became like us to reach us. I find that fascinating, that the God of the universe chose to humble himself and become like us to reach us. I mean, I don't want to be like me, because I know my mess. I know after a long day preaching, my armpits start to smell. I know if I don't take a chewy by the second service and I've sculled a few coffees, my breath stinks. I have humanity. Some of you are shocked. You're like, wow, really? Pastors get that too? But I have humanity. You have humanity. And God chose to take on humanity to reach us. This is what we call the incarnation of God. Somebody say incarnation. It's God the Son becoming truly human without ceasing to be God. The incarnation is not a subtraction from God, but it's an addition. It's not God becoming less. Jesus didn't stop being God, but the incarnation is God adding humanity to himself. God became flesh. He put skin on to reach us. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, for in him, in Christ, the fullness of the deity of God dwelt in bodily form, and you have been filled in him. Did you know your life is not fulfilled by what you do? Did you know your life is not fulfilled by your good works? You know your life isn't fulfilled by trying to escape your struggles. Your life is fulfilled in him. He was full of the fullness of God, but your life is full when you're in him. Jesus doesn't erase our humanity. He redeems it and fills it. He doesn't erase our humanity. He redeems it and he fills it. See, humanistic preaching would say, if you can look at yourself and discover yourself and improve yourself, and then you'll live the life that God has created you. But incarnational preaching says that look at Jesus, and in seeing him, you discover who God truly is, and in turn, you discover who you truly are. Humanity is not exalted when Christ comes in. We cannot fix ourselves. We must not idolize ourselves. We must not idolize just human improvement or self-improvement or personal development. But we must see that we cannot fix ourselves. Humanity has been broken by sin and would be a slave to sin, but Christ, he heals and redeems us. Our identity is not self-generated. It is received in Christ. Let's open up to the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 15. And we see here that Jesus, in his life, death, and resurrection, he reveals to us the truth about God and the truth about us. Colossians 1, verse 15 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Verse 17, "And he is before all things." You know, Jesus wasn't created. He existed before time. He was one with God. He was born into the earth and put skin on, but he existed before that. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. You know why they call him the firstborn from among the dead? It's because he was the first to rise, but the Bible promises that you will rise with him. Come on. "That in everything he might be preeminent. For in him, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things." Somebody say all things. "Whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." He came to reconcile to himself all things, not to discard our humanity, not to discard our bodies and our flesh so that we would only be spiritual beings, but to heal and restore and redeem us. He came to restore all things. And if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact imprint of the Father's nature. Meaning when you see him, you see the Father's nature. When you see him, you see who the Father is. When you see Jesus, you see God. You see the one that we were made in the image of. All the way back in Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it says that he made man in his image. It doesn't mean in the image of a Middle Eastern man with a beard, but it means in the likeness and the nature of God. Who do we find ourselves becoming? Like Christ, the image of God. If you want to know more about God, behold Jesus. He reveals to us that God is not a cosmic energy or a force, but he is a person. He has a personality. He has desires. He has a sense of humor. Did you know God has a sense of humor? He has creative thoughts. His thoughts are so creative that he created you with creative thoughts. And he placed you in this work of art that we call the universe. Jesus reveals to us that God is not antisocial, but he's very relational. I grew up thinking that God was this distant being far up away in the clouds who was really judgmental and really kingly in the sense that no one could approach him and no one could come close to him. But in Christ, we see that God is not antisocial, but he's very relational. He is the truth about God. We see that he loves to be in the company of people. He loved to position himself in the construct of family and surround himself with friendships. Did you know that God actually likes being near you? Some of us feel like God is distant from us, and we wrestle with thoughts at times, feeling like we're not good enough or we don't deserve God to come near us or God to walk with us. But Emmanuel, this nickname given unto Christ, it shows us that the heart of God has always been from the beginning, God with us. God with us. He wants to be with you. You know, he died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven. But he's not just in heaven, distant and removed from you. He has sent his spirit to come and live inside of you. He wants to walk with us. Through Jesus, it's revealed that God is slow to anger, that God is forgiving and forgiving and loving to those who are repentant, that God is a healer, that God is a savior, that God is a lover of people, that God stands up for the poor and the outcast and the vulnerable. We see this in the life of Jesus. And one day, when we are in heaven, we get to experience a God that we can touch, that we can embrace, that we can hug, that we can laugh with, that can smile with us. Have you ever thought about the smile that God has on his face towards you? We have a God that can fully embrace us and fully relate to our human experience. Because of Emmanuel, God with us, because of the incarnation of Christ, because God became a baby and became one of us, he can fully relate to every human experience you've walked through. He's felt rejection. He's felt pain. He has felt grief. He has experienced physical pain in his body as he bore the weight of the cross. We have a God who is not unrelatable, but can fully relate to your human experience, which is good news, because in my grief and in my suffering and in my pain, I have a God who understands. He is not God who's distant from you. He is God with us. He wanted to walk with you and alongside you so much so that he wrote himself into the story. If you want to know the truth about God, we look at Jesus. If you want to know how God would respond to a situation you're going through, look at how Jesus treated people in similar situations. And because Jesus is the true image of God, then he also is the truest picture of what humanity was meant to be. Colossians 1, 26 to 27, it says this, "The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints, that to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ in you, the hope of glory. I still find it fascinating today that the God of the universe, who is in glory and wonder, the God whom angels circle around the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The God whom, if we could see him in all of his glory, it would blind us because of how bright and shining he is, chose to put skin on and come and reach us. And even more so, would die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, be raised up to heaven, and then send his Spirit, his glorious, his marvelous, his powerful Spirit to come and make his home in a vessel like me. Maybe some of you think your vessel's pretty good and that's why you're not clapping and cheering. The Holy Spirit of the living God, he doesn't want to live in a palace. He doesn't want to live in a temple made by hands. He wants to live in vessels that he created with his own hands. He wants to live inside of you. This is good news, because without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we cannot be free from the bondage of sin and shame. Without him, we have to go through life carrying our baggage with us, and all the abuse and all the problems and all the insecurities and all the pain and all the disease and all the sickness. But with Christ, as his Spirit comes and lives inside of us, the Bible promises that he makes us new creations. That the old is completely gone and washed away and buried in Christ. Behold, all things are made new. This mystery has been revealed, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sometimes I don't feel Christ in me, the hope of glory. But my feelings don't determine my doctrine, Jesus does. And he said he's made his home inside of me, because we believe, we confess, we repent of our sins, and we ask his Spirit to come. If he said it, I believe it. This Christmas, we don't just have Jesus sitting on a nativity scene in our house, but Jesus abiding in our hearts. at the center of our family, the center of our homes, the center of our very existence. Christ with us, God with us, Emmanuel. When the mystery of God is revealed, our identity is restored. I love that Jesus was revealed in a manger before he was revealed at the cross. He was fully loved before ever preaching. He was fully affirmed before any miracles, fully son before obedience and any good works. And before Jesus did any ministry, later in the story, there's this moment where he's baptized and this voice from heaven booms publicly so people can hear it. And it was the Father declaring, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Why? Because sonship precedes service, belonging precedes behavior, and identity precedes assignment, which means the identity of Christ existed because of who the Father declared he was, not because of what he was about to do. I was talking with someone about this the other day. There is a difference between the identity of Christ and the vocation of Christ. See, the vocation of Christ was Messiah. That was his assignment, what he was called to do. Maybe you have a vocation of a plumber or a builder or an accountant. That's your vocation, but that is not your identity. The identity was of Christ was not Messiah. That was his vocation. His identity was Son. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Father declared it. Amen. And the Father declared it over him before he could do anything for him. The Father declared it through angels and through the shepherds and the wise men and through dreams and visions. Before he ever got to the cross in the manger, he was still a son. And if that's true for Christ and we are made and conformed into his image, then we need to catch a revelation that our identity is not based on our performance or the things we can do for God. It's based on what he says and what he declares over us. Can I tell you this Christmas, you don't have to try and climb a spiritual ladder to try and get to God. He climbed down the ladder in Christ to get to you. And he wants to call you son and daughter. He wants to adopt you as children of God and bring you into the family of faith and bring you into his kingdom where you can lead and serve and love like him until he comes again. Sonship precedes service. Your performance doesn't determine God's love. His love is anchored in your identity as a child of God. He loves you because you are his, not because of what you can do for him. And it's when you're experiencing this truth of his love and this revelation of your identity that you find yourself doing good and serving God and serving others, not to try and earn favor with God, but because you know he loves you. It's an overflow of your nature that is becoming like him. Does God really want to walk with me? Does God really want to get involved in my mess? Absolutely, he does. I'm glad he was born in a manger and not a palace. Shows that he's not afraid of getting messy to reach us. There is nothing too dark that you're going through. Nothing too evil that you're experiencing. That the presence and power of Christ can't reach you, redeem you, restore you, and turn the lights on. He is the light of the world, the light that came into the world, and the darkness cannot overcome it. I'm speaking to somebody today. There's people in this room, and you've been feeling the darkness come upon you, and you've heard about religion, and you've heard about Jesus, and you feel like this religion thing is not working for me, or I'm trying to do all these things. Can I tell you, religion will not save you, friend. It is only Christ, and he is alive. He is not dead, and he's present by his spirit in the room today. And when you invite him and surrender your life fully, can I tell you, you don't experience the fruit of relationship with Jesus tiptoeing in the kiddie pool. That there is something about surrendering all in. Jesus gave up his life for us. And when you give up your life for him and make him the Lord and Savior of your life, can I tell you, the light comes on into every dark room in the house of your heart. and there is nothing, I declare it again over somebody today, there is nothing too dark, there is nothing too evil, there is nothing too bad that you've done or involved yourself in that he cannot redeem you from. Oh, he is a master of making something beautiful out of something messy. I feel this so strongly in my heart today. The amount of people I've met in this church and in churches around the world who have told me of the darkness that riddled their life and the fear they lived in, but they surrendered themselves fully to Christ and Christ came in. He made his home inside of them and the lights came on and the fear left and the healing of their heart and their abuse and their trauma was healed and restored and God did a miracle work in them. And 10 years later, they look nothing like they once were. Can I tell you, if he can do it in me, he can do it in you. This Christmas, I want us to remember the incarnation of God showing us, revealing to us the truth about who he is. He is not afraid of getting messy to reach us. And there's an invitation for you today. For us today, as we reflect on Emmanuel, we have an invitation in this place. Not only to believe in Christ, but to take a step and receive him into the deepest places of our heart. There's an invitation today of his presence, that we would stop living as though God is distant or far away. We remember Emmanuel, he is here, he is with us. See, God does not promise that life will be easy when you follow him. Maybe you've heard a preacher online share something before and you felt like, if I can go to church, if I can give my life to Jesus, then my life will be easy. But the scriptures does not say, Jesus does not say that your life will be easy when you follow him. He actually warns you it's going to be difficult. He warns you it's going to be difficult to follow him. But the good news is that you don't have to work it out on your own. That when you walk through the valley, he will be with you. God wants to walk with you. Even through the darkest valley and the hardest days, you don't have to be alone. There is an invitation to experience his presence today. There's also an invitation of sonship, to lay down your need to try and earn what has already been given to you. To think that you could earn holiness or earn righteousness or earn God's favor. No, instead we surrender. We behold Christ. We receive his adoption. It's by grace you have been saved, not by your works. It's the thing that makes Christianity different from every other religion, is that no matter how much we work or no matter how hard we try, maybe if we work harder or we try harder, we'll reach nirvana. Or maybe if we work harder or try harder, we'll find peace. But the unique thing about Christ is he said, you don't deserve it, you can't earn it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Why? Because I deeply love the children I created. It's by grace you are saved, through faith. It is a gift from God, not something of yourselves. I have never met a man or a woman who has been able to, through their good works, earn righteousness or attain absolute perfect peace and maintain it for the rest of their life. I've never found it. Because peace is not a place you find. Peace is not a feeling. Peace is a person. It is Jesus Christ, the one who restores our peace with God and places us in right standing with him, where all of our sins are removed and we receive his righteousness. Oh man, I could preach this forever. This is good news. This is good news. We read in John 1, all who did receive him, all who believe in his name, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. And lastly, there's an invitation from Emmanuel today to step into embodied faith. I think we can all get better at inviting God into the realest places of our life and not hide from the mess, or not hide the mess in our life from him or our pain or our struggles, but actually let him come in. Let his word come into our hearts. Let him, his spirit, permeate every part of our being, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Redeem it, heal it, and restore it. There is an invitation to embodied faith. Not trying to escape our world, but letting God enter into our mess just like he did on Christmas. As the worship team come and join me on stage, I want to close off by reading the prophet Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Christmas is God revealing himself and in doing so, restoring humanity back to relationship with him. I love how a great man of faith said it like this. God wrapped himself in humanity so that humanity could be wrapped in the presence of God. God wants to be so intricately involved in every part of your life. The same Jesus who stepped into a manger wants to step into our lives, our brokenness, and bring healing and restoration. And so as we close in prayer today, I want to give an invitation to anyone who is in the room. Maybe you're here and you find yourself in this Christmas season wanting to know the truth about God, wanting to come into a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. And you've heard the gospel preached today. You've heard songs declared. And if you're here today, but you've never made a decision to surrender all in, to fully surrender, not to a religion, but unto Jesus, and allow him to reveal himself to you. If you've never made that decision or prayed a prayer like that, today I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to lead you in a prayer of coming into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I want to ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads across the room today. With every eye closed and every head bowed, as we pray together today, I first want to ask if that's you. If you're here and you want to give your life unto Jesus and experience relationship with God, to be forgiven of all of your sin and be restored into his image and become a child of God. If that's you today and you want to make that decision for the first time or maybe recommit your life unto Jesus, I want to invite you with every eye closed and every head bowed just to raise up your hand so I can see it. Across the room today, I see that hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there anyone else? Yeah, thank you. It's four people. Is there anyone else across the room today? Raise your hand nice and high so I can see it. If you want to come into a relationship with Jesus and surrender your life to Christ, thank you, I see that hand. Five people. Is there anyone else in the room today? You're here and you've been trying to get closer to God. You've been trying to understand who God is. But today you're hearing the gospel preached. You're hearing about this good news and you know that you want to surrender unto Jesus. Be forgiven of your sin and enter into an eternal relationship with God. If that's you, if you haven't raised your hand yet, nice and high, one more time. If you've raised your hand before, raise it again so I can see I know who I'm praying for today. Awesome. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, why don't we all pray this prayer together, church? Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. And I thank you that you gave us yours. This Christmas, we remember that you stepped into our humanity to reach us, to love us. And you died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But I believe you rose again and you ascended into heaven and you are pouring out your Spirit. So fill me with your Holy Spirit I ask for forgiveness of my sins and anything I've done wrong. Make me a child of God. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you that your word says I can spend an eternity in relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.